Let me invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2, the passage that this young man read for us tonight. Luke chapter 2. This morning we took some time to think through verse 11, in which the angels announced to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This evening, I would have us to consider what the shepherds did after receiving this most incredible glad tidings of great joy that anyone anywhere could have ever received, but was given to the shepherds by the angels. So let's just look at verses 8 through 14 once again, where it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And we will stop our reading there. It is an interesting question to ponder why God would have sent his angel to shepherds and not to the high priest in Jerusalem, or to the elders, or even to the scribes in Jerusalem. Rather, he sent his angel to shepherds. I think that part of the answer has to be that given the state of things that were going on in Jerusalem at that time, with the rulers of the Jews and with Herod the king himself, the probability of the news being stifled or covered up or withheld from getting to the common man was probably very high. They would be looking out for their own positions within the government in Jerusalem, and they wouldn't want this kind of news getting out to everybody. They would tend to keep it to themselves, I believe. But give that news to shepherds, who were the common man of the day, the very definition of a common man, that would guarantee that everybody would soon hear about this wonderful news. They would tell it all over the place, given who they are and the nature of shepherds in that day and culture. So what did the shepherds do after receiving this news? And when the angels had gone away back into heaven, verse 15, what did they do? Well, we're going to look at a couple of things. And just lifting some things out of the text here that might encourage us and challenge us even in our own lives, our own witness, service for the Lord. Number one, they immediately made plans to go to Bethlehem. Right, verse 15 says, It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Immediate plans to go to Bethlehem. Now, couched in these words is the fact that these shepherds believed the message from the angels. They believed what they had been told. And they made no hesitation to go and see the thing that had been told them. I mean, how could one not believe the message? Angels filling the night sky, the message delivered in such an amazing miraculous fashion, a whole host of angels praising God in the heavens. If you hadn't died from fear with that sight, the message has to be incredibly effective in reaching into the very hearts and minds of men. This sight, I believe, would have made an incredible impression upon anyone, and certainly seems to have with these shepherds. What would you have thought if you were there out on that hillside that night, looking after your sheep on the hillside, and all of a sudden this angelic brightness filled the sky? How would you have reacted and responded? Just ponder that for a moment. Probably not much different than the shepherds. They were afraid. The angels had to tell them, don't be afraid. It's okay. But wonder at not only the sight, the whole host, but the thing that they said to you would leave a lasting impression in your heart and mind, I am sure. Well, the shepherds believed the news, obviously, and made their plans to go to Bethlehem to see for themselves this thing that had come to pass that the Lord had made known to them. That's a great purpose, isn't it, in response to that message? They didn't wait till morning to go. I mean, this is nighttime. They didn't say, well, let's get some rest and then we'll go have a look in the morning. They didn't wait till their shift was over to say, oh, you know, once we're finished work, then we'll mosey on over and see what's going on here. They didn't wait till their heart got back to normal beating after that fright. They said, let us now go and see this thing. Go to Bethlehem and see this thing that they have been told. Now, these shepherds are pretty smart. Shepherds were in that day and culture kind of looked down on, you know, kind of low dregs of society. But these guys were pretty smart. What had the angel told them? He said that in verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David. There is a Savior, Christ the Lord. And they knew that they should go to Bethlehem. Angel didn't say Bethlehem. He said the city of David. They knew that that meant Bethlehem, right? You know what Bethlehem means? Beth is house. Lahem is bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread, which is a very interesting place for the Lord Jesus to be born, who called himself the bread of life. All right. So they knew to go to Bethlehem. How would they have known that? Well, Luke 2 verse 4 tells us, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. So here are these shepherds. They knew city of David equals Bethlehem. Let's go and see this thing. So what does your belief of the Word of God drive you to do? You believe this book, don't you? Every word, every syllable, every sentence, it is the truth of God. So what does your belief in the Word of God drive you to do? Do we understand the Scriptures well enough that we can make immediate plans to do what they say we should do? Or do we wait for some more appropriate time? We'll go in the morning. We'll go when the shift's done. We'll go when I feel like it. Is there any more appropriate time than now to do the things that the Word of God tells us? For example, I'll just give you a couple. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's the task for the pastor, right? To preach the Word. And to be instant, in season, out of season. In other words, to be ready to preach the Word at a moment's notice. To be instant is to be ready, always prepared, no matter the season. That's for me. Peter said that you all need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Whenever anybody should ask, whenever that time comes along, you ought to be ready to go and to give an answer for that hope. So the word's very important, and we need to take care of that now, immediately, whenever those opportunities come along. And then we read in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are you prepared and purposed in your heart to do this command of Christ, to bear one another's burdens? Kind of requires us to know each other a little bit, to know when the troubles come along and how best we can help one another in bearing those burdens. To bear means to lift up, right? To ease the load, if you want, help to carry the problems. Burdens that we are to lift up are weights and troubles and heaviness. And I think from all of us, we have experienced those things from time to time in our own lives. And perhaps someone has come along to you and just been an encouragement and a help to help you carry that burden a little bit, maybe even to lift it a little bit off your shoulders to lessen the weight. Are we quick to respond to another's concerns and to try and help alleviate the load that they are carrying? The time to do that is now, or whenever we come to an understanding that somebody is struggling. And so there's lots more commands in the New Testament for the Christian to obey, right? Love one another, pray for one another. We can do all of those things immediately, ought to do them right away. I challenge you to find some more of them and do them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and not wait for, you know, when you feel like doing it, but when the opportunities arise, to act immediately to help. Shepherds say, we got to go. We got to go now and see this thing that we have been told. They were quick to respond to the word of God. Second thing out of this passage you will note in verse 16 is that the shepherds came with haste. They came with haste. Verse 16, they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. Not all three of them, just the baby in the manger, right? Found Mary, Joseph and Mary, and then the babe, still without a name, lying in the manger. They came with haste. There was no, do you know the expression, dilly-dallying? Does that show my age or something? I don't know. There was no sauntering here. When I was in high school, I used to saunter down the halls of school. I wasn't in a hurry to get to class. I just kind of mosey on down to class. One day, I was walking along, heading to class, and somebody bumped into the back of me. So I didn't think anything of it. I thought somebody was just messing around and, you know, trying to knock me head. And then they did it again. I turned around and it was a teacher. It was a teacher bumping into me, and he was wanting me to get going, get moving. And I forget what I said to him, but I was shocked that it would be him, and that he would saying, you know, move along, get to class, get going here. And he gave me quite a bit of trouble because I kept sauntering to class. He was a shop teacher, and my class was across the hallway from his. And he got a little nasty with me and shoved me up against the locker and said a few more words. I can't remember. But then he went to class, and I went into my class, and that was it. I was just sauntering along, you know, taking my time, and wasn't in a big hurry. There's no sauntering here on the part of the shepherds. They made a beeline to Bethlehem, and they found Joseph, Mary, and the babe lying in the manger, just as the angel said. The Greek word for haste here in verse 16, haste is speudo. It almost sounds like a word that has to have a meaning of fast, doesn't it? Quick, speed, speudo. It means to haste or to desire earnestly. So, I mean, that's what happens, right? When you have an earnest desire to do something, you don't waste any time. You get to it right away. You will make haste to fulfill it. And I think that's exactly what's going on with the shepherds here. They had an earnest desire to see this thing that the angels had told them about, and they made haste to get to Bethlehem and to see it. The shepherds' haste showed their earnest desire and their interest. And it would appear that they found the family fairly quickly. The text doesn't seem to suggest that they had to spend time searching every house within Bethlehem or anything like that. But rather, they left the fields, and immediately they found Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. I don't know if you remember Charles McCracken. Remember Charles? We've had him here a few times. He's no longer with Friends of Israel. He has started his own ministry called Olive Tree Alliance. And he does a lot of writing, articles and blogs and stuff like that, still supportive of Israel and the Jews. And he wrote an article just recently. And I've heard this before, but I really haven't had a lot of time to dig into the truth of it. But I thought I would share with you his article. It was entitled Pinpointing Messiah's Birthplace. Pinpointing Messiah's Birthplace. I'm going to throw it on the screen so you can see it. So he writes here, the temple shepherds, that's who he is referring to, the shepherds out on the hillside to whom the angels came. He refers to them as temple shepherds, looking after the sheep that would be used for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. He says, the temple shepherds who first heard the announcement of the Savior's birth would have been aware of Micah's prophecy. Not only confirmation of Messiah's connection to the Davidic covenant, the prophet Micah also names the location of Messiah's birth in the environs of Bethlehem. There's a picture of Charles over there on the side. After hearing the good news, the shepherds determined, let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. How did they know where to go? Informed people of faith, he says, well know that the Old Testament prophecy that identifies the city of Messiah's nativity, Micah's prophecy, was used for every Christmas Eve program throughout my childhood as a recitation or responsive reading. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, I think he uses New King James, you Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And then he says, in the broader context of this particular prophecy, one less familiar prophecy pinpoints the precise location of the birthplace of the Messiah. Have you ever heard any of this before? Micah predicted in Micah 4, verse 8, it says, and you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Although often overlooked, Micah discloses that Messiah, who fulfills the Davidic covenant, the former dominion, was to be revealed from Migdol Eder, the tower of the flock. Bible historian Alfred Eidersheim suggests Migdol Eder, located on the northern outskirts of Bethlehem, was a watchtower used for the protection of temple flocks. The precise location is unknown, that is today, Some scholars believe Migdal Eder was a short distance from the main road linking Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Today it is called the Old Hebron Road, entering Bethlehem from the northeast. On the night of the Nativity, the sky burst into blinding light on the fields near Bethlehem. An angel spoke to the shepherds, and quotes Luke 2, 10 to 12. While there is no indication of angelic GPS or verbal directions to guide the shepherds to the manger, there is also no mention of confusion or frantic discussion concerning an extensive search for the newborn. The narrative candidly asserts, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The location of the closest manger likely was Migdal Eder at the edge of the fields where these shepherds were watching their sheep, the very place Micah prophesied that Messiah would be revealed. And so there's a picture of what's left of the tower from 2,000 years ago, I suppose, Migdal Eder. It's a picture of a manger, stone manger. So with the city of Bethlehem crawling with people, guest rooms filled to capacity, and Mary's delivery close at hand, the Tower of the Flock that she and Joseph passed entering the city of Bethlehem proper may have been their only hope for shelter and seclusion. It is likely this was the first place the shepherds would look after receiving the good news. Shepherds immediately grasped the implication of the angel's announcement. They knew Messiah had to be a descendant of King David in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. Mary and Joseph's presence in Bethlehem as a result of the census imposed by Caesar Augustus confirmed his lineage. The shepherds would have known the sign Isaiah gave to identify the promised Messiah. No doubt Mary and Joseph confirmed the sign by informing the shepherds about Gabriel's announcement to Mary 9 months earlier. Expectantly awaiting fulfillment of Micah's prophecy, temple shepherds would have been informed about the foretold location of Messiah's birth. From all indications, they knew where to find him. This can be inferred by their response in Luke 2:15. And finding Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a feeding trough, we are told, and now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So the shepherds' actions demonstrate that they understood the significance of the circumstances. The newborn was a descendant of King David. The newborn was born of a virgin. The newborn was born in the environs of Bethlehem. And the newborn was God incarnate, the promised Messiah. And God entrusted shepherds with the far-reaching announcement that prophecy had been fulfilled. Messiah was born in the very location pinpointed by the prophet Micah, and the shepherds told everyone they met. After more than two millennia, we who grasp the significance of the Nativity should also be eager to share that life-changing message with the world. The best response to the good news is still to tell everyone you know. So, the suggestion is, from not only Charles, but others as well, that this tower was a watchtower looking out over the sheep that were being raised and looked after that would be used in sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. And that through Micah 4 verse, what was it? Micah 4 verse 8, the shepherds would have determined that's probably where he's laying, in a cradle within that watchtower just outside the environs of Bethlehem. And so they made a beeline to go there and to find this place. And within they found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I think there's validity to that. It certainly doesn't discount what the scriptures tell us, but very interesting to know. And so the shepherds knew, it appears, exactly where to go to see the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. They found it exactly as the angel had told them. I don't know about you, but I find that just awesome. It's incredible. And here are these shepherds following the angel's announcement and looking to find the fulfillment of the coming of Christ. Now, the text doesn't tell us, but I kind of expect that the shepherds would have worshipped there at the manger, don't you think they would have? I don't think they could have come that far away and rejoice at seeing the fulfillment of the angel's message and not have worshipped. If they believed the message, they would know that that baby was Christ, the Lord, and the incarnate God. And I can't imagine them not worshiping him. And neither should we. We should not miss any opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus. We should make haste to come to Christ, to worship him. Shouldn't we desire to come to church to worship? I mean, we're told to assemble together, right? Don't forsake the assembling together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approach. We should desire to come to church to worship him with great joy and with great zeal. Do you find yourself having to drag yourself to church on Sunday mornings? Well, maybe some days. Today wasn't the nicest day to get out and about, but when we think about that, we're gathering together, we're going to fellowship together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we come together to sing praises and to worship the Lord, that ought to create a great sense of joy and zeal. And we should want to make haste, it seems to me, to get to church so that we can be involved in that kind of thing together. Perhaps you say, oh, I guess I better get to church this morning. It's my duty to go. It really ought to be the highlight of our week, isn't it? The gathering together to worship. We can worship the Lord all week long, I understand that. But to assemble together with other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, really ought to be the highlight of our week to worship the Lord Jesus. So make haste to Christ. Worship him. Make sure that you are in his presence. Number three, I got to move quickly here. Number three thing to notice here is that the shepherds told everyone the news about this child. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You couldn't shut them up. They were so glad and happy and enthralled that they made known abroad the saying. They told everybody that they came across. They couldn't contain themselves. The message was bubbling out of them. Everybody heard about what had happened. Is there an application here for us today? I think so. Maybe you don't bubble like some do. But we ought to be quick to be telling others about what Christ has done in coming to this earth. What are we to be according to Acts chapter 1 verse 8? Acts 1:8 talks about the power of the Spirit coming upon the disciples. And he said, you will be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? There is a task that we have to be a witness unto the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. So we have that responsibility, and we ought to ensure that we are doing and complying with that, to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus wherever we are, to whoever God brings across our pathway, wherever we may be. That's one. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, we ought to be quick to let people know, because we're ambassadors for Christ. Do you consider yourself to be an ambassador? That's a pretty high profile position within governments in the world today, nations within the world. We are an ambassador for someone greater than any president, prime minister, or anybody in any nation in the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we have a message to give. Be reconciled to God. Christ has paid the price. He's made reconciliation. Now you need to confess your sins, forsake your sins. That's not the word I was looking for. What's the word? Repent. That's it. Repent of your sins, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and call on his name to be saved. That's a message that we have to give today. And we should not hesitate or hold back from doing it, but rather give it to everyone we can. And I like the testimony and the example of the Thessalonian church. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, Paul said, "For from you," from the Thessalonian church, "sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward to Godward is spread abroad, so that we don't even need to speak anything." That's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? Here are the Thessalonians, new believers in Christ, and yet they were going everywhere throughout their whole province telling others about what Christ has done. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. In every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." Paul said, we get there and we don't even have to say anything because they've already said it to you. So, let us take every opportunity that comes our way to tell others about the Lord Jesus, to be good witnesses unto him, and to sound out the word of the Lord as best we can, wherever we are, in the gifts and the abilities and talents he's given to us, to take care of that job that we have been given. And you know, when the truth so grips your heart, you just can't keep it in, right? It bubbles over and out. And I suspect that the shepherds didn't tell others in a mundane, dull, weary voice, "Oh, guess what we saw out at the tower? We saw Mary and Joseph and a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, the angels told us about it, but, you know, we went and we saw it with our eyes, and oh, happy day." I expect that they had a pretty excited voice when they were telling others about what they saw. Joy, enthusiasm must have permeated their relating of the story. Maybe we could exude a similar enthusiasm in our telling others about Christ. And lastly, number four, what the shepherds did after receiving the message from the angels. Remember, they we're told that they went and purposed in heart to go find out and see this thing that the angels had told them about. And then they made haste to get to Bethlehem. And then we, from verse 17, we know that they were telling everybody about it all over the place. And the last thing, the shepherds returned to the field, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as it was told to them. That's verse 20 in the text. The shepherds returned. Notice they returned, obviously, back to the field, back to their flocks, their workplace, if you want. They still had a job to do, but oh, what a difference in these shepherds as they went back to work. Jesus said before he left that we are to occupy till I come. You know, we work at jobs, we provide for ourselves and family and so on, be able to help other people with the things that the Lord provides us with. They went back to work. But they went back, I think, greatly changed from what they were before. And we're told here that they glorified and they praised God. The Greek is doxa zontes kai einontes ton theon. They glorified and they praised God. That's pretty good, isn't it? These shepherds, considered to be low class in society, and they're glorifying and they're praising God because of all the things that they had seen. Now that is a great way to return to work, don't you think? Whatever your work might be, a great way to go. Everything that they had been told, they heard and they saw, they were eyewitnesses of the truth of the angelic message, exactly as the angel said, confirmed by their own ears and their own eyes. That would leave an indelible impression upon their minds. So we have a wonderful message in the Bible, a message of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, a message of hope for life and living now, as well as hope for the future. We have a message of Christ's return for the church in the rapture and to establish his millennial kingdom at his second coming, about 7 years later. We have a message of joy and peace and rest and contentment in Jesus Christ. And I dare say that there's lots of people around today, in light of the situations that we are facing in 2020 with the virus, there's a lot of people that are in despair and hopeless. So we have a wonderful opportunity as believers in the Lord Jesus to help lift the burdens, to help bring some joy and some understanding perhaps in their lives. We can bring peace and rest and contentment and joy to lives that don't have it as we preach to them or as we tell them about the Lord Jesus and what he's done for them. So let's be sure that we glorify and praise God for the things that we have heard and seen from the scriptures, right? We ought to joy all the time because of what God has given to us in his book. Just as it was told to us or revealed in his word, we can have the opportunities to glorify and praise him. I think the shepherds set us a pretty good example, don't you think, of how we need to respond to the message that God has given to us in his word. May we follow in their steps. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you for these shepherds. What a delight they are, and we look forward to meeting them someday when we get to glory. I'm sure they will be there as they have believed your word and found Christ and must have put their faith and trust in him as well. And we look forward to maybe spending some time chatting with them about what that evening must have been like and the joy and the excitement of seeing the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger, knowing that it was God come in the flesh, Emmanuel incarnate, and that he is the Savior of the world, the Christ, and Christ the Lord. It must have been just an awesome thing for them. We thank you. They didn't keep it to themselves. They told everybody. And may we find such joy and desire in our own hearts and lives to tell others about the Lord Jesus, especially at this time of year when we celebrate Christmas. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to dig into it a little bit. We trust that we might have a greater appreciation for the shepherds and to have them as a great example for us even in our own lives today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.